Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com, and we're visiting with our good friend Sean Doyle. He's a principal with Fitzmartin Marketing. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
Good to have you back, as always. How you doing?
Oh, thank you.
Happy New Year.
And to you, too.
Sean, one of the things you want to talk about today is how to make sure that our business is properly positioned. And that's a concept that I'm afraid a lot of small business owners might not spend nearly enough time thinking about, or if they do, they only do it after a fashion. What do you think?
I agree entirely. And I'll tell you what will get everybody more interested in it. We're going to talk about profit, which is very closely tied, or is a function of positioning. Everybody cares about profit.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about profit. Positioning sounds like marketing egghead. Profit is the reality of it.
All right.
The primary objective for any company should be seeing themselves properly positioned in the minds of clients or prospects as the leading specific provider of either a product or a service. And yet most people don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. They spend a lot of time on either their fixtures or developing processes or whatever they're selling, going to market, but they don't spend a lot of time determining how they can set their brand apart from competitors.
Differentiation is one of the most important things, and this is all part of positioning, isn't it? Sean, if you can't find a way to differentiate yourself from your peer competitors and your non-peer competitors, like the big boxes, if you can't find a way to differentiate yourself from those folks, then you're going to kind of blend in the background, aren't you?
Absolutely. Jack Trout and Al Reese in the book Positioning, are you familiar with them?
No.
That's a classic book. I recommend anybody get that. Anybody who wants to learn about that reads it. They suggest that brands who can't claim leadership, then they need to retreat to a defensible subcategory. In the world of packaged goods, they believe that. They believe it vehemently. But we typically have not applied it in the world of selling products or services at the retail level or the small business level. The two keys to brand equity comes down to differentiation and relevance. Differentiation really comes down to the ability for you to support a premium price. So if you want to make more money, find a way to differentiate. If you can be determined as having no credible substitute for your product or your service, the experience that happens in your store, the experience with your customers, if you can get people to see that, then you'll command the pricing premium that you desire.
And see, that's where outrageous success is found as a small business owner, isn't it?
Absolutely.
At that break point, at that point where you can demand and get a premium price. Now, a premium price might be simply where the big box companies are selling at a 22% margin and you're selling at a 25% margin. It could just be a small amount, but it is a premium. It's more than say your nearest competitor is selling it for.
Absolutely, and that comes down to one thing. That's expertise. If you can look at your business and determine what your expertise is, then you can determine what that point of differentiation is going to be, and start justifying a premium price.
And there's a little bit of, and I like talking about this too, Sean. There's a little bit of intimidation factor in that too. And I don't mean bad intimidation, folks. I mean good intimidation. The intimidation is this. When your customers are willing to pay you your price because they're worried about not getting what you give them. They don't want to do without whatever it is that you're going to give them.
Absolutely. And the other beautiful, beautiful thing about being positioned as an expert in what you're selling is people don't give you as much guff. I mean, wouldn't you love to be able to make a recommendation or tell people what product to buy, and they just say, yes, we'd like to buy that. That's great. Instead of what happens now is people think you're selling. People feel like, oh, you're pushing that on me because you want to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an expert, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, this is your problem, you don't blink. You say, okay. And you run to the pharmacy and you get whatever he tells you and you do whatever he tells you to do.
So you're saying that a very important part of small business positioning is trust.
Oh, absolutely. And people trust experts. And if you take the time as a business owner to identify what your expertise is in, then you'll be able to start building that. But that scares most business owners because that sounds narrow. Everybody wants to make money by being broadly relevant to a large amount of people. But that's got to be second to differentiation. You've got to have that expertise first and worry about broad application of it to a large market later.
And you know, Sean, the thing that people get prevents small business owners from accomplishing what you and I are doing, what you and I are talking about, is when they get so engrossed in what the big box companies are selling things for,
mm-hmm.
and they think that they have to figure out how to get into a price war with the big box companies.
Absolutely, you do.
That's the kiss of death when you start doing that. Because, folks, as you've heard me say before, the price war is over. We lost.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you also, when you begin to compete against a big box pricing, if you go to Walmart, do a competitive shopping, and see that their sweater is $10, and then you price yours at $10, and then you try to also explain to your customer why the sweater is provides this high-level service, it's not believable because you're charging the same as Walmart. So you must not be any different than them. And your customer will see that. They may not believe.
The thing is, Sean, let's not forget that small business owners need to remember that we don't have to have everybody's business to be successful. And there are plenty of people out there who if your price was the same as Walmart's,
absolutely,
they wouldn't buy it from you because they're buying it from you because they think you're unique. And if the price is the same, it's not going to give them the same feeling.
I mean,
there is a price point philosophy out there, folks. There's a philosophical thing. There's an emotional thing about price point for some people. We're going to get Sean Doyle to tell us more about this right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sean is with Fitzmartin Marketing.
Say that last just as the time bell rings. Standing on the mountain looking down.
We're back at 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Sean Doyle is our guest. Sean, give us your website, please.
Fitzmartin.com. FitzMartin.com.
Fitzmartin.com, and that's tell us what you do for your customers, Sean.
Well, Fitzmartin is a business-to-business marketing specialist, and we design communication programs that help people's sales efforts, we help build corporate cultures, and ultimately we help people grow their bottom lines.
All right. And they can contact you from your website. You want to give us a phone number?
No, just look at the website.
All right.
I think that's the best way to go.
Check it out. They can email you. They can find your information, contact information there.
Yep.
Folks, I hope you'll do that. Sean, we're talking about making sure that our business is positioned, and I really am glad that you brought up the idea of differentiation.
Absolutely.
And because, see, that's what I see. That's a mistake I see big companies making. And that is where they get so engrossed in the competition that they forget that the real job is to serve the customer.
Absolutely. The thing about positioning, let me go back to what I just said when I described my company. I described us as a business-to-business marketing specialist. That's our position. Right? That's our expertise, is that business selling to another business, that relationship. And then I gave you a reassurance statement, which further defines what we do. We design communication programs to help sales and to build corporate cultures. People that are listening now, if you're listening to me and you have a consumer business, I'm irrelevant to you. I'm a business-to-business marketing specialist, not a retail specialist, so I'm irrelevant. So as a business owner, I'm always thinking about who my next customer can be. And it scares me to say I can only serve or I'm only really good at serving that business-to-business market. But that's where my expertise lies.
Mm-hmm.
So if I really want to serve my customer well, if I want to focus on my customer, I need to focus on customers that I truly can help. And developing that positioning, developing that narrow way of communicating to the right group, the relevant group, is critical. It's critical.
Have you ever seen a time when the marketplace was as segmented as it is today? I mean, when I think about when I was a little kid, about the different products that people had available to them, the different services that were available, we have so many more products and services available today, and basically it's created whole new market sectors have been created.
Absolutely, and that's a great segue. Narrowing your focus, you fear becoming irrelevant to the customers that you've got or a lot of prospects, and that's the natural business owner's feeling. But narrow positions always end up being broader than you think they're going to be. For example, when we have some expertise in education, sometimes we market to that area. When we said, okay, we're going to be educational experts, then all of a sudden we discovered there are recruiting experts within education, companies that only do recruiting of students. There's also companies that only do institutional imaging or branding for colleges. So there's, I thought that education can be a really narrow niche. But once you get into it, you discover they're broad. Ultimately, we chose not to choose to go that route. But my point is that when you decide you're going to be good at one thing and you explain it, you become irrelevant to some, but all of a sudden you're going to discover that there's a broader scope within that niche. So you narrow down, you get lots of little niches and lots of companies serving these niches, and you discover that there's more niches underneath that. There's mm-hmm. always going to be somebody more specific. And you'll never be able to outprice or win business when there's somebody else that's more relevant than you. If I'm looking for a new copier, and there's somebody who's really specifically detailed in, say, I'm a legal services company, I'm a law firm. If there's a legal services copier company, they're going to win out over a generalist copier company or over Office Depot every day of the week because they're narrow. They know exactly what I need as a legal services copier company.
One thing they have to do, though, is they have to not only understand who they are and what they stand for and what their position is, they have to believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to serve that model, because if they don't, it's not going to work.
But you know what? You'll believe it the first time you've been pricing your service and product at $1,000. And when you niche down and you're working in your area of expertise and you get to charge $5,000 for it, all of a sudden you go, man, I'm an expert.
Mm-hmm.
Paid $5,000. I used to charge $1,000. If you don't differentiate, your business is going to die. If you don't find that position and narrowly target this people, then you're in trouble.
And the way you look today, I don't see how any business in 2005 can be the same as it looked, say, 5 years ago and survive.
It should.
Or maybe even a year ago.
It should. You will become we call it brand erosion. Ultimately, if you don't change, don't continue to keep pace with the market, even within a very narrow niche, there's always changes. Technology changes things.
Right.
Perspective.
John, give us your website one more time.
FitzMartin.com, FitzMartin.
I hope you'll check it out, folks. Sean, thank you for being here. Happy New Year.
It's been great. I hope everybody's positioned well and profitable.
You've helped us. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with Governor Pete DuPont. 29 after this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.